The Lord be with you.
What's with you?
Happy Wednesday. I've got one announcement for you from Dan. Men, the last men's night out of the year is this Friday, 5 to 9. So just a reminder to sign up by tomorrow, Thursday at 5 o'clock, if you want to be a part of that. It'll be a special evening for seniors in particular, a chance for them to share a verse, I think. Dan's got the plan in his head. And then I'd like to introduce to you our guest today. This is Father Damian Ference. He comes to us from Borromeo Seminary in Cleveland, Ohio. Any Ohioans here?
That's right.
And he's going to offer us a word today. But before that, I want to invite you to a lecture he's giving tonight at 7 o'clock in Mulder Chapel. That is on actually Western Seminary's campus. If you walk right out either of these doors, it's the chapel right there. So don't be afraid to cross the lawn. That's at 7 o'clock, and the title of that is Nothing Scares Jesus. So you are invited to that. Can I pray with you?
Please.
Lord, you say that your word is a lamp to our feet. I pray that the word that Father Damian speaks today would illuminate our path. We offer this space to you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for inviting me out here. This is incredible, and it's awesome. So let's jump into scripture. From first chapter of Mark, verse 9 through 11, it happened in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. On coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him, and a voice from the heavens came from the heavens. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. A lot going on there. Here's Jesus down into those waters. Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove. And then the Father's voice says, you are my beloved Son. Beloved, and secondly, in whom I am well pleased, or in whom I take delight. Now, why is this important? Because this is Jesus's identity. He is the Son of God, and he is God, and he knows who he is, the beloved Son, and whose he is. He's the Father's, okay? Now, why is that important to you, and why is that important to me? Because by our baptism, and what is baptism? It's our entering into the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By that, when the Father looks upon you, and when the Father looks upon me, who does he see? He sees Jesus. Because by our baptism, by entering into his paschal mystery, his dying and rising, we are configured to him. And so that means when the Father looks upon you and when the Father looks upon me, what does he see? You may say, well, you know, he sees someone who's kind of struggling through college, working hard, overworked, someone who's going to enjoy the day later, someone who's battling some terrible addictions, someone who's got some major problems at home, someone who's lonely, someone who's longing, someone who whatever, and you can list all sorts of things to describe yourself or for me to describe myself. But our primary identity, my younger brothers and sisters, comes in this, that when the Father looks upon you, he sees his beloved Son and he sees his beloved daughter. That's what he sees first. And don't say, no, he can't possibly see that. Because by Jesus's death and resurrection, when we are conformed in him, that's who he sees. He takes delight in us. He's pleased with us, just as he takes delight in his Son, Jesus Christ, you see. And the world wants to tell us that that's not true, that if you want to find your happiness, you've got to go somewhere else to find it. You've got to fix yourself, somehow save yourself, so that then God can look upon you and delight in you. If you could only get your life together, if you could only start acting the way you really want to act, if you could only start doing the things you really want to do, if you could only start loving the way you really know you're supposed to love, if then God can say, oh, finally, now I delight in you. The truth is that he delights in you now and in me now, even in our own sinfulness and our brokenness. And he says, listen, accept my love because it's my love that I give you in my Son Jesus that will redeem you. All right. The world doesn't want us to believe that. The world wants us to think that we have to have something in order to find our happiness. Let me give you a couple examples. Guys, you first. Okay. There's a commercial on TV, and here's the guy, okay? This guy is a dorky guy, and he's just standing there. He's, you know, loser all alone, got no friends. No one wants to hang out with him. And then all of a sudden, he gets this bottle in his hand. And I'm not going to name any names of products, but he gets this bottle in his hand, and he starts to spray it on himself, right? Before you know it, what happens, guys? The ladies, every lady in the whole city, right? They come out of the buses, they're like, oh, you're so handsome and sexy, and all these sort of things, and the guy's like, yeah, that's right. Now, what, it's true. It's also brilliant marketing, because every man wants to be desired. He wants to know that he's loved, that someone finds him attractive, and so here's the lie. If you buy this product and spray it all over yourself, then you will be loved. You see how subtle it is? Then you'll be loved. But until then, no one loves you. Your heart is restless until it rests in this bottle of body spray, right? It's a lie. Ladies, now I'm from Cleveland, but I imagine you have similar outlet malls and stores and all those kind of things. This is what happens sometimes. So you're walking along with one of your friends. Maybe it's an indoor mall. We still have some of those. And then you see this store that has these navy blue shutters, but they're all closed, you know, they're almost black. I'm not naming any names. And you walk by, and then sometimes you also smell perfume or cologne, like pumping through the air conditioner. And you're like, yeah, sweet, what's happening, you know? And then you take a look into this store, and it's a clothing store, by the way, but you take a look in, and the models hardly have any clothes on, right? But then for some reason, you say, must enter store, must buy skirts, must have this, must have that. Why? Why does that happen? What is the drive? The drive is deep down that we want to be loved, and then we think, if I only have this beautiful skirt or this blouse, or if I can only have this particular look, then I'll be found attractive. Then I can move. Then I can head on. It's a lie. It's a way that the culture takes advantage of your heart and my heart to say, if you only have this sort of thing. A couple more examples really quick. This is always around the football season. You got a couple dorky guys who are sitting in their backyard and nothing's going on. The pool is empty. There's no leaves on the trees. Nothing's happening. And then all of a sudden they get a beer in their hand. And then before you know it, the pool's all filled. There's ladies all around. They say, oh my gosh, this beer has saved my life. Everything I've longed for. I found it in here, you see? That's the trick. There's a mean trick that's played on mothers too. You know, you see the family that comes home and the mom's been working and she's like, what am I gonna do? Oh, here's a meal. I could put it in the oven and take it out and they'll never know. And the kids say, mom, you're the best mom ever. What mom doesn't wanna hear, she's the best mom ever. And she just saved time making a meal and her kids love her. Why? Because she made this nice meal for them that you're selling on TV. So if you only buy that, then you'll be loved. You see the lie of the culture. It's so subtle and it works on us in such a deep way that if we're honest with ourselves, we often believe it. We often believe it. How many of you have seen a Lion King? Raise your hand. All right. Let me tell you a secret about the Lion King. The Lion King's an awful lot about this because what's Simba, right? He's supposed to be the father's beloved son, right? And he's supposed to be the king of the jungle, but what does he go off doing? He makes friends with animals that eat grubs and things, and he goes and runs off and doesn't do what he's supposed to be doing until Rafiki, right? Okay, what does Rafiki do? He takes him by the water and shows him into the water and says, you've forgotten who you are. See, you've forgotten your identity. And at the heart of the first step of Christian spirituality is knowing who we are and whose we are, and that when God looks upon us, he delights in us. One of my big heroes in the Catholic tradition, but I know a lot of non-Catholics like him too, is John Paul II. And John Paul II said that you are great because God created you. And anyone who pulls you below that level of greatness is demeaning you. And it's true. You see, we find everything we long for in God, and the devil wants us to think, no, 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 God couldn't possibly love you that much. You've got to go somewhere else. That's why the devil is the father of lies. He tells us lies about ourselves. You have to have better hair. You have to have better teeth. You have to have better skin. You have to have a better body. You have to have better clothes. You have to have better grades. You have to have all these things, and once then you have them, then God will love you. That's the devil's voice. And if you hear that voice in your head or in your heart or in your thoughts that's saying that you're not good, that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't like you, that he's not pleased in you, ask yourself this question. Would God the Father, who looks upon his son with delight and love, tell me that? And if he wouldn't, whose voice is it then that's speaking? Another great line, and I heard John Paul II say this live in person 2002 up in Toronto. When God the Father looks upon us, he does not see the sum of our weaknesses, but what he looks at us with is the sum of his love. So if we're not there today, and we've been struggling, and we're saying, gosh, Lord, give me a word. I need a sign. I need something. The sign is this, that we are the Father's beloved. When he looks upon us, he takes great delight in us as a community, but also an individual, as individuals. When we remember that, when we remember who we are and whose we are, even through suffering, we're at peace. When we run from that and try to find our satisfaction and peace somewhere else, we get ourselves in trouble. May we always remember that we are beloved sons and daughters of the Father, and we praise you, Father, for making us so through the blood of your Son, Jesus. Amen.